This is an Equity Mates Media podcast.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is useful.
Welcome to another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going?
I'm very good, Bryce. Very excited for this CEO series interview. We've spoken to a number of business leaders across Australia doing some really interesting things, and we're sort of returning to home with this CEO series. We're going to be talking to a business leader who's, you know, disrupting the investing and trading industry.
That's right, Ren. It is our absolute pleasure to welcome Vic Djokovic from Chi-X. Vic, welcome to Equity Mates.
Hi, Bryce, and hi, Ren. Nice to be on.
So for those of you who haven't come across Vic before, he is the CEO of Chi-X Australia, a securities and derivatives exchange looking to disrupt the Australian investment market. And we're going to unpack all of that in a second. Prior to joining Chi-X in 2018, Vic spent 26 years at Deutsche Bank, finishing as managing director. So as always with our CEO series, we're going to be covering off company basics, what it's like to be competing with the ASX at the moment, and then closing out with some conversation around people and culture and then future plans for Chi-X. So Vic, we're looking forward to this one, but as always, Ren, we'll start with company basics.
That's right. Vic, we like to start these interviews by having the company leader describe their company in their own words. So to kick us off today, what is Chi-X?
Great. Okay. So, and thanks for having me on. Chi-X and many investors may not know that Australia has two large stock exchanges. And so when you place an order with your broker, it's likely that that order will not only touch the ASX, but it will also touch Chi-X. So in terms of background, Chi-X started back in 2010 as a disruptor. So if you think of, you know, Aldi disrupting Coles and Woolworths, or Uber disrupting the taxi industry, so too Chi-X came in to disrupt and compete with the ASX that had been a monopoly exchange provider, but still is across many of its businesses for a long time. So ASX has been around for 150 years. We've been around for about 10. I'll be pleased to take you through what we've been able to do in those 10 years. But most of you out there listening will have executed, bought and sold shares on Chi-X without even knowing it.
Well, there you go. Nothing like a bit of healthy competition, and very much looking forward to unpacking that. But Vic, you know, for many beginner investors, there's no doubt this would be the first time that they learn Australia actually has stock exchanges outside of the ASX. So what should we know about Chi-X? Like what services do you offer, and what are some of the kind of companies and funds that actually list on Chi-X?
Sure. So in terms of trading, each day Australia sees about five or six, big days, $7-8 billion of trading. and on an average day, around $1.5 billion of trading is executed on Chi-X, and obviously the balance on the ASX. We have close to 20% market share. And to start with the trading piece, when you place an order with your broker, most brokers, and there are about 60 stockbroking firms in Australia, will have a smart order router. So a machine, if you like, that routes those orders to the exchange that has the best price in the market. So for most, not all, but most brokers, those orders will be sent to Chi-X and the ASX. As an example, if you're a client of the largest online broker, CommSec, then they will route to Chi-X. Provided Chi-X's price is equivalent to the ASX's price, it will then route to the ASX. So you will take a bite, if you like, or be able to trade across both exchanges. To finish off on that, there are about 2,300 companies that are listed in Australia. All of those companies are listed on the ASX, but they are available to trade on both ASX and Chi-X. And then in terms of unique products, you know, Chi-X gives investors the ability to be able to buy and sell US stocks through the day in Australia during Australian trading hours in Australian dollars in names like Apple and Microsoft, Zoom, Berkshire. You know, about half of the S&P 500, the large US index, about half of those stocks by market cap, which amounts to about sort of 40 very large corporate names, they're all available for trading on Chi-X, not on the ASX, only available on Chi-X. So those brokers that are connected give their clients the ability to trade US stocks. And then there's some other aspects that we have as well that are unique to Chi-X. We have a number of fund managers like Magellan, Schroders, Janus Henderson, Alliance Bernstein. There are 9 fund managers that have now listed their products on Chi-X as well. So only available for those brokers connected to Chi-X.
So Vic, let's move to the ASX and what it's like competing with them. You know, in our mind, the ASX is close to a monopoly, as we see in Australia's economy, as anything really. So let's start with the problem. Like, why is the ASX dominance a problem, if it is, and why should we as investors want to see a second exchange?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's pretty simple, or there's a simple response to that every product, every consumer benefits from competition. So, you know, if there's no pricing tension when you have a monopoly provider of a product, then obviously it's not as good for the consumer, and it's great for the monopoly provider because there's no need to adjust pricing. And, you know, I used the example earlier of retail. Imagine a Woolworths without the competition of a Coles or of Late and Aldi, or a Telstra without the competition that we saw coming in from Optus or other providers. And look, yes, the ASX is a monopoly provider across a lot of what they do. Ultimately, brokers take a trade that your listeners will place through their broker, and they execute that on the ASX. But there is an alternative in Chi-X at the moment, and that's meant that the fees that are charged by the exchanges, certainly by Chi-X, are significantly lower than what we saw the ASX charging in the past, and in fact, what the ASX charges now. So ultimately, better for the broker. And therefore, there is an ability, and we've seen it in recent years, for brokers to reduce their commission rates. And, you know, I've been around for a long time, and I know that when I started in broking over 30 years ago, a normal commission rate was about 2% of the cost of the trade. And you compare that with the commission rates now, there's obviously competition over time has helped, you know, those commission rates fall.
So what sort of things are you doing to approach actually trying to disrupt the ASX and taking some of that market share? I mean, is it all on price? You're obviously offering companies on the exchange that the ASX aren't. How are you approaching this?
So, look, it can't be about or simply be about price. It needs to be about other things and clearly innovation. When you've got large providers that have been in a market for a long time, they tend to be bureaucratic. They tend to be slow in innovating because they don't really need to innovate quickly in that they have the market to themselves. So what we've done is we've introduced new product to the market. One of those has been Traces, which is access to those US names that I mentioned earlier. So if you want to buy Apple, you can buy them via this Tracer product that, again, brokers connected to Chi-X have access to. And that gives you the ability to buy those large brands during Australian trading hours. And importantly, they sit on your HIN, on your holder identification number. So they feel, look exactly like buying Telstra or BHP, but you're able to buy a Zoom or a Berkshire. And they're priced in Aussie dollars, so the FX is built in. So that's another product. And then others, you know, this latest growth that we've seen in the ETF market, you know, Chi-X has been at the forefront of that. So there's been a lot of innovation in terms of that exchange traded fund market in Australia. And Chi-X has helped facilitate a number of new active managers coming to market. And again, I mentioned, you know, Alliance Bernstein and Schroders and Janus Henderson and Magellan bringing new product to market that perhaps wouldn't have got to market without Chi-X's innovation.
Yeah, on that point, Vic, we've recently spoken to a few of the Magellan fund managers, and Magellan opted to list their core series of funds just on Chi-X and not on the ASX. I guess, how do you go about trying to compete for those listings with, you know, the giant that is the ASX?
Yeah. Yeah, look, and it's never straightforward. You know, they have significantly greater resources, headcount, money to throw at projects. But, you know, we've been very focused on the areas that obviously we're competing with the ASX on. And if you think about the ASX, it has many limbs, it has many businesses, and we're only at this point competing with the ASX on a few of those businesses. So we've been very focused, and I think in that ETF piece, and you mentioned Magellan and the core series, it was about our speed to market, so helping them to navigate the world of exchanges, working with them and the regulator, ASIC, in terms of, you know, the rule requirements for them to bring some of these new products to market. So it's about speed and innovation as much as it is about pricing. And certainly we were cheaper, so that's also a consideration.
So Vic, Chi-X Asia Pacific was recently acquired by CBOE Global Markets. They're the owner of the Chicago Board Options Exchange. What does this acquisition mean for Chi-X?
Yeah, it is CBO or a scale exchange. So many people don't really understand the world of exchanges outside of the ASX, but there are many stock exchanges that are significantly larger. CBO, CBOE is one of those. It operates in the US, so it's, I think, the third largest exchange in the US, but it is one of the largest, if not the largest, exchange in Europe, and operates one of the big clearing houses in Europe. If anyone knows anything about volatility or trades volatility, there's an index called the VIX index, which is traded on CBOE indices, on the CBOE exchange. So they own it and it's the home of VIX trading. And importantly, Cboe's one of the world's largest derivatives exchanges. So it's a scale exchange that has taken over Chi-X's business in Australia. And what does it mean for Australia? It means that over time, we're going to see a whole lot more competition because Cboe has the scale to take the ASX on across most of what it does. It also means that that Australia, for the first time, will have a truly global exchange operating within its shores that will be able to bring global access, so access to other markets around the globe. And whilst Traces was a product that Chi-X brought to market, Cboe extends it a lot further. I mean, Cboe has exchange operations in 15-odd countries in Europe, in North America, Canada, Australia now, and Japan. So it's a very different operation to a very Australia-centric exchange in the ASX.
So you've mentioned Traces there a couple of times, Vic, and I just want to follow up on that for those at home who are wanting to play along and jumping on your website. How do you know if the broker that you're with is hooked into you guys, if they wanted to, for example, I'm looking at the Apple Tracer at the moment. How do you know?
So you can go to our website and check on those brokers that are already providing access to Traces. You can ask your broker. Most of the larger, the tech savvy brokers and the larger brokers are connected. There's a number of brokers that are connecting at the moment. So when you think about, again, the world of stockbroking in Australia, I mentioned 60 stockbroking firms operate in Australia, from the very largest institutional brokers down to, your smaller operations with two or three staff. Of those 60-odd, about 50, 50, are connected and operating and sending orders to Chi-X every day. But within that 50, I think a subset of that, around 20, are currently connected in terms of using our Traces product. So it's worth checking with your broker.
So Vic, on the CBOE acquisition, they're obviously a giant company in their own right. And we were excited to, see what that means for Australian investors, having them, expand their presence with this acquisition. What sort of new innovations or products or services should we as Australian retail investors expect to see Chi-X bring to market in the coming years?
Sure. Look, you'd expect us to look to compete with, the ASX across a lot of their products. So we are competing across the warrant market already. We have about 35% market share of the Australian warrant market. We're competing in the trading of ETFs. As I said, we've got about 35% of that ETF market. And as I mentioned, about 20% of the daily trading in shares. But, we're not competing in across many of the derivatives products, and that is a very large product set in Australia. And it is part of Cboe's DNA, Cboe being the largest options exchange in the world. You'd expect one of the first things we'll look at is options trading, broadening out the warrant market, bringing more of these ETFs to market. Cboe has 600 exchange-traded funds listed, whereas the ASX has about 200. So Cboe has scale. I'd like to see some of those global products available for trading down here, so that our retail clients in particular can get access to product they haven't had access to before. And then, an area that I think almost everyone other than the ASX have been keen on for many years in terms of competition is clearing and settlement. And I know that, again, a lot of people listening probably don't think too much about clearing and settlement, how a trade goes from the exchange and is cleared and settled and then find its way back into their account. But it's incredibly expensive in Australia, and it means that brokers don't have a lot of latitude to shrink those commission rates even further because they're being charged those clearing and settlement fees, which are passed on to the end user. So I'd say over time we'll look at that area as well. None of these things are easy lifts. They will take time, but certainly, that's another aspect of what ASX do that we will look at. But, if I summed it up as, in terms of the most important aspects, I would say in access to international product that Australian investors really haven't had access to, or access has been difficult.
So Vic, we obviously look over at the US and they have two major exchanges that compete for company listings, the NASDAQ and the New York Stock Exchange. Is that sort of long term, if you think about what this acquisition means and what Chi-X could become, is that something that could be on the horizon? We have, if companies want to go public, when Bryce and I want to take Equity Mates public one day, we'll have the ASX and Chi-X both courting us.
Absolutely. I look forward to courting you guys when we can get back and actually have a lunch.
True, or a dinner, or both. Lunch.
I am missing the long lunches. Look, that's the other aspect, and I didn't mention that, and I should have mentioned that. Listing corporate names is an important part of what almost every exchange does, and you're right. In the US, the two big listing exchanges are, NYSE, New York Stock Exchange, and NASDAQ. And interestingly, they have a different set of corporates listed on them. NASDAQ has carved out this incredible business in terms of listing primarily technology names. Is there room for that in Australia? We've seen how successful Australia's been in terms of innovating and some of the success stories over the course of the last, particularly over the course of the last 24 months, really, over the last couple of years. I'd like to think that there's an opportunity for that to happen in Australia, a competing exchange for primary listings. And that's something we're looking at as well. So we'll be scoping that out over time. And the idea would be to have, a strategy that brings something new to the market. It's no good just offering an additional service at potentially a slightly lower price and that's it. There's got to be some strategy around it, be it an exchange for technology names or some other aspect that Australia excels at.
Yeah, it'd be epic to see the NASDAQ 100 equivalent grow out here in Australia. So, Vic, before we start having a chat about people and culture, we'll just take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So, Vic, we often hear that understanding management and how, the people within a business is very important when it comes to investing. So we'd love to hear how you think about your leadership. Do you have a leadership philosophy as CEO?
Look, I do. Mine is simple, and I spent many years at Deutsche Bank. It's a much bigger organisation, obviously, than Chi-X, but an organisation that that taught me a number of things about communicating with staff. I mean, that's one key takeaway for me is, open door policy. We are small, so we benefit from being small and flat management. But open communication is key. We have many very talented people working at Chi-X. I mean, it is a technology disruptor foremost, so that makes my job easy. I lean on my people who are very good at what they do. But open communications is probably the number one takeaway. Secondly, you know, flexibility. We've all been introduced to flexibility in the workplace through COVID, and I think that's certainly not going away and is certainly an aspect of what I think we do better than most organisations. So the ability, you know, to work from home was an aspect that we certainly had prior to COVID, but well, we've shown that things work and can work very well in a COVID environment. And the other aspect is also a client-centric business. We are, you asked about Magellan and other fund managers that are coming to us. The philosophy for any new business competing with a large incumbent is to just look after clients a little bit better, or a lot better, hopefully, than your competitor. And that served us very well. So we are very focused on our customers. And I know that SIBO, it's a perfect fit for us because SIBO has the same philosophy. It's really put the client first. And your business will ultimately be a success on the basis of that.
It's also worth mentioning, Vic, that CBOE is listed in the US. So for those listening and loving what they're hearing and want to be involved in the Chi-X journey, they can do so. It's listed on the BATS exchange, which is CBOE's exchange. So opportunity to get involved in the story. And that's a good sort of segue. You know, as CEO of a company that has recently been acquired, how did you navigate through that transition and bring your team along on that journey, integrate them into CBOE's culture?
Sure. So it was different. I was involved in, you know, having been with an investment bank for most of my career prior to Chi-X. It was a very new experience. And for anyone that's been involved in a takeover or any sort of corporate activity over the last 18 months, almost all of it has been done via, you know, conferencing. So we were able, conferencing services. So between, you know, Blue Jeans and Teams and Zoom and others, we were able to bring in many people in Chicago, Kansas City, London into these negotiations with people at JC Flowers, the private equity owners that own Chi-X prior to SIBO. You know, they were sitting in London and New York, and we were sitting in Sydney. And these conversations were happening, unfortunately, late at night, but to accommodate everyone. But it was a completely new experience. So that was one aspect. And that was then you had the challenge of relaying and including that to, you know, your staff in Australia. And, you know, I spoke about open communication. We needed to communicate what we could. I mean, much of it was confidential. But when we got to the point where we were able to relay some of that to staff, again, new experience, we weren't all in a room. Much of it was being done by pulling everyone onto a call. But happened successfully. And we got through it.
So not only are you missing the long lunches, but now missing international opportunities to get deals done.
I should say short lunches. Long lunches are a thing of the past. So for anyone that knows brokers, they were a feature. And if you don't know, you know, the market used to stop at 12:15 in Australia and not resume trading till 2. So there was a blank period of an hour and 45 minutes, probably up until about sort of 10 or 15 years ago. Now there's trading right throughout.
There you go.
But it's interesting because if you look at trading patterns in the market, you'll still see volumes really reduce over that 12:15 to 2 p.m. period when brokers still take their lunches. So the market may still be trading, but there's certainly a lull in the middle of the day.
There you go. We were lucky enough couple of years ago to actually go and have a tour of the Japanese stock exchange, and they still shut down over lunch as well and go and have a bit of a break. So that's fascinating that Australia is to do the same. Vic, would like to sort of close out with a few questions around the future plans of Chi-X. You mentioned there that, you know, you're an innovator and a disruptor, and we love to see it. We sort of think the same here in terms of what we're trying to do with financial media. So what does the next 12 months look like for Chi-X? Is there anything you're able to reveal in the pipeline? And I think specifically from a selfish point of view, are we going to see some European stocks come to the market?
So the next 12 months are busy, which is good. You know, I mentioned technology. The technology platform we have here is critical, obviously, to everything we do. And generally, disruptors tend to have better technology than the incumbent. And certainly in the case of SIBO, we're very interested in much of their technology that is, you know, market leading. So step one, start to import, you know, some of the things that they do very, very well, which will underpin product going forward. So that's step one. And in that regard, we're out hiring. So we will grow our headcount significantly. So it's step one there, technology. Step two, there's a few products that we'd like to get running with right away. One we've been public with is a product called BIDS, B-I-D-S. It's a little technical. I won't go into that exactly, but Australia is a market that sees a lot of block trading, and it's really at the institutional side of town, so it's not so much for retail clients. And BIDS is an electronic block platform, so that's happening. And then, you know, Traces, we spent some time on that. And to your point around Europe, there could be the potential to extend out the 41 large blue chip US names to European names. And I think worth also looking at Asian names as well. Yeah. When you think about Alibaba and Tencent and others, I think there'd be large demand. And the nice thing about this, you know, that Traces product is that you can call your local broker. You don't need to be worried about trading overnight. You can get a price during trading hours in Australia. It's priced in Aussie dollars. It moves in line with the US dollar price overseas, FX adjusted, and it sits on your HIN. So it sits alongside your other shares, if you have any. So it's nice and neat. It's also good in terms of your accounting at year end, because you don't have all those separate things that you need to deal with when you're dealing directly internationally. It'd be nice to get European names there and Asian names there as well.
Yeah, it would be epic. Just to close out the Tracer conversation, I know that there are probably a lot of questions going to come through as a result of this. Do you actually own the stock, or are you just a beneficiary?
Yeah, you are a beneficiary. So every Tracer is the equivalent to a underlying share. So it looks the same, it feels the same, it moves in line with the international stock, again, FX adjusted. Either way, when you buy shares directly, you need to do the FX, or you will have those FX movements anyway. And one of the nice things is that Deutsche Bank, the issuer of Traces, actually does the FX for you. So it's there in the price that's quoted on Chi-X. And it's done at wholesale rates. And one of the key things that retail clients should keep in mind when they're buying overseas shares is, you know, if they're commission free or, you know, there's some other aspect to them, is that, you know, the largest cost in buying an offshore stock is often the FX that's included and the FX rate. So that's often invisible, but it's something you should think about. And you should certainly ask your broker about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it would be great to see Alibaba and potentially Tencent, all things considered, what's going on in Asian markets at the moment. But look, we'll certainly watch this space. What do you think is the greatest risk for Chi-X and your business right now, Vic?
Oh, look, it's an interesting market. So, you know, it's an incredibly buoyant market, obviously driven by government stimulus, low, you know, incredibly low rates. So it's well underpinned. Not a lot of concern around inflation. I have concerns around inflation creeping back in and real rates of inflation and what that might mean for markets. Fortunately, you know, exchanges, if there's periods of heavy volatility like we saw in March, April last year, trading levels go up. So that could be a good thing for all exchanges. But, you know, a period of uncertainty at some point would lead to lower trading, which would not be good for us. So that's one aspect. Look, and look, the ASX is very good at what it does, and we've talked about their monopoly provision of many of their products. You know, they're very good at pushing back, and as most monopoly providers are, they're very, very good at lobbying against any competition. So there's always that aspect. So we manage that well, and we have a pretty good relationship with the ASX, but there's always that. So really it's, levels, volumes in the market and lobbying from our competitor that would cause us issues, and migration of any technology. We always need to be mindful that those things need to be done very, very carefully. And we saw the issues that the ASX had in migrating technology when they had that outage in November of last year. It can cause, clients and brokers a lot of pain if it's not done in the right way.
Now, Vic, we want to say a massive thank you for taking the time and joining us today. It's a pretty fascinating story that Chi-X is building, and we love competition in any market, but especially in exchanges, which affects us as investors so much.
Yeah, look, my pleasure being on. It's hard to... It's probably hard to make an exciting story out of talking about, you know, exchanges and the exchange world, but it's interesting in that exchanges are no different to most other businesses. They're evolving, and it's a good thing because you want to give consumers, clients access to new things and innovate. And I think Australia's been very inward focused. Australians have mainly bought Australian property and Australian shares, and there's a whole world outside there. If it was easier to get access to it, then I think ultimately investors would benefit. So, happy to have had the conversation with you.
So, Vic, we always like to finish with a final question about the long-term vision for these companies. And if you think about Chi-X in 10 or 20 years from now, what does success look like?
Yeah, look, success in 10 years' time, that's a world away. Success for me will be lying somewhere on a banana chair by a pool or off traveling. But success for Chi-X 10 years out, would see it as a much larger competitor to the ASX. I think operating across businesses that perhaps even ASX doesn't think it will see competition in. So that would be success. I think that point I made around international access is incredibly important, and I'd like to see SIBO Australia, and we will change our name. It won't be Chives. It'll be SIBO Australia probably within the next 6 months. That SIBO Australia, the former Chi-X, offers a broad access to international markets. I think that's the end game for SIBO, even sooner than that, but certainly 10 years out. So a large competitor, hopefully a larger competitor than the ASX in the domestic market, and all the benefits that competition brings to the end user. I think that's what I'd like to see in 10 years' time. And I think the other piece is that the exciting thing about these disruptors that are coming into the market is it's a whole new way of doing things and, you know, additional opportunities for not just investors, but people in the workplace as well to join these organisations. So I think we'll be a lot larger in terms of people as well. So I think a good thing for Australia's financial markets and a good thing for for the market more broadly.
Yeah, well, certainly looking forward to seeing it all play out, Vic. You mentioned the SIBO Australia rename. So you're going to have a SIBO Australia Investor Day coming up to hear from some of Australia's best investors. For those of the Equity Mates community who are keen to be part of that, are you able just to give a quick rundown on what that day's about?
Sure. So it's on the 19th of October. Or plan to be the 19th of October. Things are moving around COVID again, but it is virtual. We're going to be having a number of Australia's leading fund managers in particular presenting, so you'll be able to hear from them about, you know, what they look for and certainly, their philosophy in terms of investing. So I think it's a positive. It's free. So if you jump on Investor Day at chi-x.com, so that's Investor Day at chi-x.com, you'll be able to get the details and register. And it's certainly going to be a feature of what we do going forward. So this is the first, and it's being done with the AusBiz platform.
Yeah, nice. Well, I would suggest anyone in our community, it's always good to hear from investors around Australia. So tune in if you have the opportunity. That's investorday@chi-x.com. Send them an email and they'll get in touch with more information. And Vic, very much appreciate you coming on the show. It's always great to hear from leaders who are trying to disrupt and innovate. And we very much look forward to seeing how the journey of CBOE or CBO Australia plays out.
Great. Thanks very much. Nice to talk to you.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website, where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.